Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
unique entrance, obviously, to the fastest 60 minutes of sports. Tonight is the NFL preview show. Now, check this out. And I'm not sure why, guys, but I cannot hear myself in my headphone. Is there an issue there? No. Okay. Anyway, hopefully you guys can check me out and hear me out, okay? If not, somebody send me a pop on Facebook or whatever. Let me know that there may be an issue with the audio, but let's hope not. Welcome into the fastest 60 minutes of sports. Yours truly, Vinny Moore here, coming to you live from the Richardson Park studio this time. We've been in Calgary. We've been in Denver. We've done this show all over the United States and now in North America, Canada. And it's an amazing show, and we love doing it. Tonight, in lieu of all the fantasy talk of fantasy football, this is truly the fantasy football show. Okay. Now, for those of you who aren't big sports fans and have no idea what that means, it basically means for the next 45 minutes to 50 minutes, we're going to basically inundate you with all this talk about the National Football League. And those of you who are going to the window this weekend to put your money down, as much as I discourage you wasting your money and gambling on such things, there are some fun things going on this weekend. We touch on everything. We touch on the NFL. We touch on college football. We also touch on all the major league sports from around the world. So we've got baseball love. We've got some NBA news from time to time. We've got updates courtesy of our friends at ESPN that are coming to us every 20 seconds. So if something happens in the world of sports over the next, 54 minutes, you'll be the first one to know about it. How about that? All right. So let's get some Major League Baseball to the scoreboard, let you know what's going on right now. As has been kind of the case all year long for the Chicago White Sox, the Yankees are pounding them 5-1, bottom of the fourth. Cleveland, a 4-1 leader over Baltimore right now. The San Francisco Giants, 8-3 over San Diego. Philadelphia, 2-1 leader over Washington. That's the bottom of the fifth. Boston and Detroit, a 4-4 tie. That's got to be a lot of fun in that game, a lot of star power there. Bottom five, St. Louis, Cincinnati, a 3-2 lead for the Reds. My new team to root for, and I say this humbly because I've kind of become an Andrew McCutchen fan after watching the special on E60. Milwaukee is an 8-1 lead over Pittsburgh, and that's in the top of the second, so obviously a big start for the Milwaukee Brewers. Seattle, Kansas City just getting started, bottom second, no score. And just warming up out there on the West Coast, Colorado and the Los Angeles Dodgers, that game has not started yet. So here we go. It is the NFL season, week one, 2013 season. It is here. Now, here's how you join this conversation if you so desire to. You can contact 619-639-4747, 619-639-4747, if you want to join the conversation about tonight's NFL preview show. We want to touch on every division, every potential winner, where you might want to go. And if you're playing in the survival series of games from all the different sports bars and sports clubs and sports books all over the world, we might have some tidbit of information that might help you, because you got to survive week to week to week. And here are the rules. Unless the game has changed, here have always been the rules. You pick the winner of a game that week. If your team wins, you move to next week, but you can never use that team again. So, what will you do? Here's a prime example. Week one. Because the NFL season is starting on a Thursday night instead of Sunday, it's starting Thursday night with, let me get this because I don't want to do you wrong, because I know it's the repeat of the game Broncos and Ravens, but let's go to the schedule. I want to be clear on this one, because here's what would historically happen. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that on Thursday night you decide to pick the Denver Broncos to beat Baltimore, since Denver is at home. Peyton Manning and the guys are going to get it on at Sports Authority Field in the Mile High. If the Broncos win that game and you have Denver winning the game against Baltimore, great. You've won that. You're active for next week. But guess what team you cannot choose now going to week two? You cannot choose the Denver Broncos, despite whatever the good matchup is. You get one team to pick one week, every week. But once you've won with that team, you can never pick that team again. It makes it really, really a lot of fun. It really does. So we've given you Major League Baseball scoreboard. So let's run down your schedule for week one of the National Football League, all starting tomorrow night into Denver. Baltimore, the Ravens, the Super Bowl champion Ravens, heading to Denver's Mile High, or better known now as Sports Authority Field, to play the Broncos. The Patriots are at Buffalo. This is all Sunday now. Cincinnati is at Chicago. Miami is at Cleveland. Atlanta, New Orleans. Tampa Bay is at the New York Jets. Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Minnesota at Detroit. Oakland at Indianapolis. Seattle at Carolina. Kansas City at Jacksonville. Arizona at St. Louis. Green Bay at San Francisco. The New York Giants at Dallas. That's going to be a lot of fun. Philadelphia at Washington, Houston at San Diego, and then Now, the Philadelphia, Washington, and Houston, San Diego, those are both Monday night games. And, again, it's become a bit of a tradition now. The first week in the NFL, they do two Monday night games. Both of them will be on ESPN for all those of you who have cable. And for those of you who don't, hopefully your cable provider has a relationship with a local station. You can get those games for those of you who are true, true football heads. Again, as you know, I truly am a big sports fan. Now, please understand, being born in Middle Earth, better known as Galesburg, Illinois, part of the deep suburb of Chicago, about 188 miles south, have a massive infatuation for baseball, basketball, football, have fallen in love with hockey. And not over the 19 months while we've been in Calgary, but even greater than that, let's face it, the Blackhawks have made it really, really worth watching the last couple of seasons. If you're not a Chicago Blackhawks fan, well, maybe it sucks to be you, but I'll tell you right now, there's been some absolute great hockey played in Boston, in Pittsburgh, in Los Angeles, and that game continues to expand. We certainly hope that our Canadian teams to the north can simply get it together. Toronto had a great run last year. I'm still not sure how they lost that 3-goal lead in Game 6 to the Boston Bruins and wound up losing that series. But nonetheless, Toronto's going to be good. I don't know when Calgary's going to be good again, but I certainly hope the Flames get it together pretty quickly. As you all know, in June, there was a massive flooding in Calgary, and that city was devastated by rising waters. The city has come back with a vengeance. It has become certainly a second home to me, and the people there are absolutely amazing. So let me get some shout-outs to some amazing people that make our time in Calgary worth being there. Shouts out to Celine. Shouts out to Sasha. Shouts out to the entire Accenture staff there that just recently moved into Rocky Mountain Plaza. Shouts out to all of you guys. You do a phenomenal job. The team lead, Muhammad Tarhini, does a strong job with all the guys that do support for Synovus Energy. Shouts out to the Synovus Energy family. Love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week. In the meantime, this is the National Football League Preview Show. Week 1 is upon you. So let's run down it. We'll break the division down at a broader spec in a minute, but let's talk about Week 1 real quick. So you got Baltimore and Denver. The Ravens have lost a ton of talent with the retirement of Ray Lewis, the loss of Ed Reed. That may be just enough to make you change your thought process on the Baltimore Ravens' long-term perspectives. Joe Flacco's there. The offense is largely intact. I don't know what they're going to do on the defense without Ed Reed in the middle of that. There's really no reason to not be, you know, a little anxious about throwing over the middle. And you bring Peyton Manning and that offense in there, that it's now had a good year under its belt. They were already the best team on paper last year. This time they may put it together. Look for Denver to take care of business Thursday night. And again, if you're a gambler, you're going to a sports book, you can say you heard it here. Just don't come looking for me if it goes sideways on you, all right? So look for Denver to take care of business at home tomorrow. That's going to be a tough one. New England at Buffalo. This one could go sideways. Buffalo's at home. You know, they just announced that E.J. Manuel's going to start. That's the rookie quarterback. Now, they're at home, but Tom Brady – and that offense is walking into that stadium. This could get ugly and get ugly in a hurry. I don't see how New England doesn't blow Buffalo out in this game. And feel free to harass me at 619-639-4747 if you want to. Cincinnati at Chicago. Every prognosticator has the Bears winning this game, more than likely because they're at home, their defense is largely intact, and they believe the offense is solidified, not the offensive line issues have been taken care of. I got to say this, as a Bears homer, as a Bears fan, as one who wears a jersey from time to time, this game's not going to be easy. Do not be surprised if Cincinnati shocks Chicago in this game. Cincinnati's really, really good on defense. Their offense is not bad, of course, with Andy Dalton and AJ Green. It will not be easy. I'm certainly going to be rooting for my Bears, but I will not be surprised if they get an absolute war of a game from Cincinnati. Miami's at Cleveland. Cleveland is completely underrated. People give them no – we used to say they give them no tick whatsoever. Well, Cleveland gets no love of any kinds. But at home, Miami's not that good of a football team just yet. They haven't solidified their running game yet, so Cleveland certainly could do some things there. Atlanta at New Orleans. This, my friends, may be a preview to greater things to come. New Orleans has its head coach back. Sean Payton is back. You've got Breeze, and you've got the horses with Colson and Lance Moore and those guys. Look for New Orleans to be really, really powerful on offense. I don't know how their defense is going to be. Matt Ryan, Atlanta Falcons can put up points in a hurry, and everyone knows that this could be the fun. I'm not even sure why this game is at 1 o'clock. This should be the afternoon game. that would be the kind of game you definitely want to get all your church out the way, get everything out the way, get all your housework out the way, sit in, settle in for what should be an absolute Donnybrook of a football game, Atlanta and New Orleans. I look for New Orleans to actually steal this game, only because they're at home and Drew Brees has something to prove. After throwing for over 4,000 yards last year, look for him to try to repeat that and even more with his head coach back in place. Tampa Bay at the New York Jets. All right, let's get the other headline out of the way. As some of you may have already heard, Geno Smith was named the starting quarterback over Mark Sanchez in New York. Not so much of an ire thing as much as they didn't have any other choice but to do this. Now, you have two rookie quarterbacks now in E.J. Manuel in Buffalo and Geno Smith with the Jets starting on Sunday. For the Tampa Bay team, who has a solid defense and certainly an improving offense, I won't say this is going to be easy, but if you're the Tampa Bay defense, you ought to be pinning your ears back and getting after this guy. You need to show him pressure that he's never seen before. So look for Tampa Bay to pressure the quarterback. I still think the Jets eke this game out, but that's only because probably of a late interception, courtesy of our buddy Josh Freeman. Tennessee is at Pittsburgh. Many of you know Tennessee, while they may have the fastest man in football, they really don't have a very solid offense, or for that matter, they have a great running game, but that's where it unfortunately kind of ends. Pittsburgh is balanced across the board. They've lost some talent on the outsides. Have they even named a starting running back yet? We'll have to pursue that and find out if that's the case. But I still look for Pittsburgh to find a way to win that game at home. The Minnesota Vikings at Detroit. I don't know that anyone's going to be able to stop Adrian Peterson again this year. Detroit's defense is supposedly improved. We don't know to what extent. But again, Minnesota at Detroit will be a fun game. If for those of you Adrian Peterson fans, those of you who have him in your fantasy squad, he's going to put up a lot of points. The Detroit Lions, look for Matthew Stafford to try to have a breakout year again. Calvin Johnson chasing down Jerry Rice's receiving record. It could be fun in Detroit. Detroit may find a way to get this one done, but stopping Adrian Peterson and being able to slow the game down to control is not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. Again, a game that could have easily been the afternoon game of the week. Turns out it's a 1 o'clock game. Oakland at Indianapolis. Well, this is one of those, they're playing because they have to play because it's on the schedule, but only these two teams actually care about this one. Indianapolis will probably do well. Andrew Luck is going to take the Colts far. Oakland is going to start Terrell Pryor in this game, which poses a problem for the Indianapolis defense, but only in the fact that he's a running quarterback. Other than that, not a lot. Oakland is a bit of a mess as a team, so Indianapolis at home should be able to take care of business. Seattle at Carolina. This will be a fun game. Many people have the Seattle Seahawks going all the way to the Super Bowl this year. The Carolina Panthers, on the other hand, a tough team to beat at home. Cam Newton, a dual-threat quarterback, can get a lot of things done. I'll be curious to see if they can establish a running game and whether or not Steve Smith is truly himself in that game. Kansas City at Jacksonville. This will be one of those games that they're playing because they have to play. It means a lot, obviously, to the teams, to the squads, to the community of Jacksonville. You know, maybe we'll see the beginning of the Denard Robinson saga. They play it out. They're coming out of Michigan, dual threat. He can play running back. He can play wide receiver. Is Maurice Jones-Drew going to play? That's still a bit questionable right now. Kansas City, it's the beginning of the Alex Smith saga there, so we'll see what's going to happen with those guys as well. We know he's got Dwayne Bowe to work with. It's a 1 o'clock game. Again, we'll watch it on Red Zone. I don't think you're going to be chasing any sports bar to find that game unless you're from the market. Arizona. Hang on a second, guys. Wait, back, clean that up. Arizona at St. Louis. Thank you. The Arizona Cardinals at the St. Louis Rams. Here's the story on this one. You have a quarterback in Carson Palmer starting for Arizona going in to play the St. Louis Rams defense, which should be improved. And why am I drawing a blank on the St. Louis Rams quarterback? Anyway, he's going to look for a breakout season. Well, guys, forgive me. I should know that name. I feel stupid now. We'll come back to that. All right. In the middle of the show, I'm going to just wake up and go, that's his name. Moving on. Green Bay at San Francisco. Many think this is a playoff preview, the 4 o'clock game. And again, if you remember last year when they played in the afternoon, I believe I was on a plane when they played. This game came down to late in the third quarter. The Niners were dominating. Green Bay's offense kind of woke up late. Should be a good game. Green Bay pegged by many to win the division, the NFC North. San Francisco pegged by many to win the NFC West. This could be a playoff preview. Of course, the Seattle Seahawks and the Chicago Bears may have something to say about that. We shall see. Giants at Dallas used to be a great game. Now it's a game where the Giants aren't that good. The Dallas Cowboys are certainly better, and that is the Sunday night game. For those of you on the East Coast, it'll be starting about 8:30 Eastern time. So for the rest of the world, you'll have plenty of time to see that from AT&T Stadium there in Dallas. And, of course, Monday night are the two Monday night games, Philadelphia at Washington and Houston at San Diego. look for RG3 to put on a show. Michael Vick should put on a show. That game's going to get started about 6:55 Eastern Standard Time with the preview, all from FedEx Field in Washington. Houston and San Diego, on paper, the Texans should run the Chargers out of this building, on paper. But you don't play the game on paper. You play it on the field. And Phillip Rivers tends to do well when the light is on him, when the spotlight's on him. So we'll see whether or not San Diego can rise above some of their shortcomings on staff and wide receivers, as well as, you know, what's the issue with Ryan Matthews? How's Freeney going to play? Is he going to start? They've made some changes in San Diego. We'll see how that works out. But Houston, on paper, looks really, really solid with Schaub at the quarterback. Now, Andre Johnson, obviously. You have J.C. Watt. Or, sorry, J.C. Watt. J.J. Watt, the king of SWAT himself on defense. They just signed their linebacker to $50 million contract. Why am I drawing blanks on names? That is still not like me. Ugh, guys, forgive me. Anyway, the defense is strong. So look for Houston to play well as well. Anyway, where are we at? We're 20 minutes in already. 50 past the hour. 7:50 in the Chicago market, which means it's 6:50 in the Mountain Time area. Guys, I guess we better pay some bills. All right, let's do what we got to do. In the meantime, we're going to give you some more updates on the baseball world, more updates on other sports going on, and let's pay some bills. Talk to you in a minute.
With every twist and turn, I need a clean that keeps up. New Olay Fresh Effect Va-Va Vivid Vibrating Bristles. Twist and turn for a Va-Va Vroom Clean. So sparkling fresh. New Olay Fresh Effect.
All right, thank you. Here's a look at Michael Fabiano's top 10 players to pick up. All of these guys owned in less than 50% of NFL.com leagues. Exactly. Fabs, who deserves a spot when you look at this list on somebody's roster?
You know exactly
what
I'm going to say here.
Why do you keep doing that?
Terrell Pryor.
It is not Terrell Pryor.
Terrell Pryor. You know, we got into this fight 2 years ago above Tim Tebow, and Tim Tebow is not a good quarterback in reality.
He had four good games.
This is a fantasy show,
buddy.
He had
four good games.
No, he did not. He had more than three. He beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs.
Can I ask you one question? Is he a complete quarterback?
Terrell Pryor.
You don't need to be a complete quarterback to be good in fantasy because he runs with the football.
I understand.
He can throw for 200 yards a game or less and still score 15 fantasy points a game.
Even if we take the Tim Tebow conversation, it was a dominant defense, a magnificent offensive line, a great running game.
Okay.
The Raiders are a hot mess.
And they're going to have to come back, and he's going to have a lot of garbage time points a la Carson Palmer last year.
So you'll take him over Carson Palmer right now. Both those names
absolutely
on the waiver wire. Over Jay Cutler right now.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That,
you know, that's,
Jay Cutler hasn't been good
that is why he's
years.
A senior fantasy editor.
He hasn't been good
like that.
I'll tell you one guy that surprised me on that list. That's Isaac Redman. When I look at Isaac Redman, he is now the starter. How do you have a starter sitting out there in free agency? You got to go pick him up because, look, I know he wasn't very impressive in week one when he was named the starter last season, but I really do believe that he has an opportunity now to really go out there and make that case. Now, he's a guy that's not going to be your one or two running back, but he's a guy that you can have on your bench and at least know that you can play him in situational football. I like Isaac Redman.
Yeah, and we'll get back to Terrell.
About
but in the meantime, cheer me up a little Ken Burrell Tompkins here. Look, I know the depth chart is out for Bill Belichick and the Patriots, and you have Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola listed as your starting wide receivers. Your starting slot receiver looks to be Matthew Slater, according to the depth chart. But understand Ken Burrell Tompkins and what he is and how he arrived there as an undrafted free agent out of Cincinnati. Missed an entire season with an injury. He is big. He is fast. And I know it's the preseason, but playing with the ones, Ken Burrell Tompkins showed out. And after week one against the Bills, when they put up 45 points in that game, Ken Burrell Tompkins will be off the waiver wire to the team that performed the worst. Do not allow that to happen. Get him right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. This is a kid, again, undrafted out of Cincinnati, who showed a lot of flashes of potential in the preseason.
Yep.
Forget about the Patriots depth chart. It's unofficial as far as I'm concerned.
And it's Bill Belichick and
yes,
a depth chart, too.
He likes to play games.
Let's stick with rookie wide receivers here, Fabs. You like Houston, Texas there, huh?
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins needs to be owned in more than just 50% of fantasy leagues. This is a kid who did have a concussion in the preseason, but he's been cleared now. He's fine for week one. They're playing against the San Diego Chargers on Sunday night. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and start Hopkins, but upside. I preach upside to fantasy owners all the time. And guys out there. This kid has a lot of upside. And remember, Andre Johnson is still the clear-cut number one, but he certainly could be made an argument that he's past his prime.
Yeah, don't be that guy jumping out late, trying to get Hopkins when everybody's already now picking him up off the waiver. Be the guy in front of that horse and go get DeAndre Hopkins.
1,400 yards last year with an injured Sammy Watkins down at Clemson. He's going to have a big impact this season opposite Andre Johnson. How about Quiz Rogers?
You know, I love Jaquiz Rogers because when you look at the Atlanta Falcons and you look at the type of offense they run, they're going to run the 4 and 5 wide receiver set, but they have a dominant running back in Steven Jackson. So you look at Steven Jackson now all of a sudden, and you've got these running these wide receivers out. Jaquiz Rogers is going to be one of those wide receivers, and it's going to allow those things to open up in the passing game. Jaquiz Rogers last season targeted 57 times. That's a lot of target for a running back, and I think that's going to increase with the amount of weapons that they have.
This is great. We got to get back to this.
Get back to Terrell Pryor.
How about this? Here's, I guess, bigger picture for me with Terrell Pryor. He's not a Dennis Allen guy. He's not a Reggie McKenzie guy. They inherited him.
They don't want him.
A playmaker, and John Fox inherited him too.
I'm gonna say one thing to your point. I know this for sure. Al Davis is a visionary. Maybe he saw something, or was a visionary. He saw something that we didn't see. But I just gotta say that Terrell Pryor though has not come full circle yet.
How about this, Fez? Terrell Pryor puts in big work in fantasy this year.
Yeah.
Tattoos on me.
Right. Oh my God!
Get the Mike Tyson tattoo right on your face.
I mean, I'm buying a tattoo for you.
That's crazy. So that's the first phase of stardom. So then we'll try to run that as often as we can throughout the National Football League season. But ladies and gentlemen, the next 20 weeks of any football fan's life are now etched in stone. Please understand it. Don't hate. Don't be mad. Don't be angry. But if you come disturbed during the game, trust and believe all we're doing is watching the game. That's it. It's going to take an awful lot to get most true football fans away from their screens, away from whatever they're working on, away from whatever they're doing. The National Football League is once again upon us. It is it used to be a $9.1 billion organization. Now I'm sure it's exceeded that by about $2 or $3 billion. The reality is, this is the time. This is when more estrogen and testosterone gets exuded by more people. The NFL lays claim to the fact that women are now so interested in the National Football League and football and the game and the fandom. It is absolutely amazing. All this, and we got more to talk about as we start breaking down the divisions right after this.
January is Customer Appreciation Month at Subway Restaurant, so we're saying thanks with $3 6-inch sandwiches. That's right, our totally tasty egg salad and ham sandwiches are just $3 each. Hurry in, January only. Subway, think fresh, eat fresh.
Okay, which idiot posted the the January Subway commercial? We're going to get in trouble for that one. All right, anyway, real quick, let's talk a quick little piece about the National Hockey League. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, hockey. I know most of you in Middle Earth aren't huge on it, with the exception of the Chicago Blackhawks. But then again, when your team is the Stanley Cup holder for another season, well, you got a reason to stick your chest out and be pretty doggone proud. What is going to be interesting will be the fallout from what was a banner year for the game, but not necessarily a banner year for finances. If you remember back in 2010 when the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, the first thing they were forced to do was fire sell a lot of the talent on that team that helped them to win that cup. I won't give them too much credit, but it does appear that the model has been improved to some degree and a lot less talent is going to be lost. Okay. Headlines. Nicholas Jalmerson gets extended with the Blackhawks for 5 years. Scotty Bowman building potential dynasty around the cap. Claude Giroux says he'll be ready for the opener. We've got right winger rankings, face-off Ovi versus Kane. I don't know about that one. So if Alex Ovechkin ranked higher than Patrick Kane. Well, I guess that has to be maybe on some type of stats of some sort, because it's certainly not on whether or not your team is winning a title, because when's the last time the Washington Capitals won anything? But for those of you who just can't wait for hockey to get started, you're looking at October the 1st. Puck drops to Toronto at Montreal at 7 p.m. Washington at Chicago at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, October the 1st. Look for a tremendous – again, it is truly the – if you've never gone to a hockey game, I plead with you, Get off your lazy tail. Don't just play with the remote for the games you want to see, and go see an NHL hockey game. It is impressive. The speed of the game, the strategies of the game, it's an amazing game. All right, go see some NHL hockey this year. I trust and believe it will warm your heart. It will warm your soul. Something special to see. All right. I told you we'd break down the standings, and by doing so, obviously, we're looking at standings that haven't even started yet. We break them down from the AFC and the NFC, so let's get started in the AFC East. In the AFC East, you have Buffalo, Miami, New England, and the New York Jets. The class of that division is still the New England Patriots, just because of how the organization is built and how it's so well run. But is there anyone there in that particular division that could contend? There are many believe on the East Coast that the New York Jets, if they had a solid quarterback, could certainly contend. They've got a lot of talent. They're a good football team. They're just not the New England Patriots. Miami, while maybe improved on offense, with the exception of the running game, and certainly solid on defense, not ready to step into that next level with New England. New England wins the AFC East. The AFC North is a bit of a conundrum. Many people have the Pittsburgh Steelers winning that division because they believe Baltimore's just lost too much talent. And then there are those who believe that the Cincinnati Bengals have done enough to step into that. Well, of course, we'll see Cincinnati here in Chicago on Sunday, so we'll get a gauge personally firsthand on that one. But I really think that this is the Mike Tomlin run one more time. I think Pittsburgh, Big Ben and those guys get it going again, and I've got Pittsburgh winning the AFC North. The AFC South, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Houston, and Tennessee. The class of that division, the Houston Texans. The wild card of that division, the Indianapolis Colts. Jacksonville and Tennessee will be looking at crumbs about 8 weeks into the season. But look for Houston to make a statement again, get out of the box fast, you know, run up. I could see Houston going 7-8-0 early and looking dominant. And then they hit that wall. It's almost like a wall where youth just get a little bit tired. And then that's when the struggles begin. Then there's the AFC West. Denver, Kansas City, Oakland, and San Diego. The class of the division, the Denver Broncos. Why? Way too much talent. Peyton Manning at the helm. It's a coach versus a player and a player at the same time. Peyton, yes, he's that good. Yes, he's that much of a difference maker. Can Kansas City be of any value in that division with Alex Smith? I've got friends in Kansas City, the Padulas and the founders of Cyclo. I love Kansas City. I love the city, but they're not going to be there this year. Oakland, as you heard earlier, is a hot mess. There'll be some flashes. Terrell Pryor will make some noise, but not there. San Diego, also a bit of a hot mess. Good quarterback, not much else around him. Ryan Matthews still hasn't figured out how to hold on to the football, and that defense looks like it might be taking a step back this year. So, because this show is recorded, I can't go back on anything I've just said, which you got to love about that. You got to love that. To the NFC now. The NFC is Dallas, New York, Philadelphia, and Washington. RG3 will make it fun. Michael Vick will make it fun. Eli Manning will wake up about 6 weeks into the season, and Dallas will be the class of that division. I said it, and I'll stand by it, and if I'm wrong, I'll come on this show, and I'll admit it. The NFC North, Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota. There are three teams in that division that should have stellar years. One of them is not Detroit. The Bears should be good. I've seen prognostications of 10-6, some 9-7. Depending entirely on how they come out of the gate, I see the 9-7. I'd love to see the 10-6, and of course, with any good breaks, 11-5 for the Bears. Detroit, with some breaks, they'd probably go 8-8. Green Bay is still probably the class of that division just because of the talent and their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Minnesota is the wild card because you know you've got Adrian Peterson. Is Christian Ponder going to take that next step? Does he have enough surrounding support around him besides Adrian Peterson? Minnesota found a way to get to 10-6 last year. I don't see them going 10-6 this year. I don't know that Adrian necessarily takes a step back. I just don't see 10-6. I see Green Bay maybe winning the division, the Bears maybe in the wild card, and again, I could invert those two and be okay with it. I could see Chicago getting out of the gate fast, new head coach, new offensive prowess, putting up a lot of points. That defense in Chicago is still going to be very, very good. Green Bay's defense has made some improvements, but Green Bay couldn't stop grandmothers running against them last year. So let's move on. The NFC South, Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. The New Orleans Saints could be back. And if they're back the same way they were through the Super Bowl season, it is going to be very, very tough sledding for Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. Carolina sports a dual threat in Cam Newton. Needs a running game to support him, you know, with some solid heavy-duty running backs. Atlanta's got Steven Jackson. They've got Julio Jones. They've got a lot of weapons and a great quarterback. On paper, Atlanta should be the class of this. But if history has shown us anything, paper means nothing when the ball is snapped. The New Orleans Saints and Atlanta Falcons will be fighting for this division for at least the first 8-9 weeks. I don't know that you're going to get any separation to maybe about week 9, week 10. And even then, it won't be by much. Look for Atlanta to win the division. Look for New Orleans to be hot on their heels. And look for both of those teams to have some awfully good games when they play each other, both one in Atlanta and one in New Orleans. The NFC West. St. Louis, Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle. St. Louis, Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle. Well, you have two key organizations that are the class of that division, the San Francisco 49ers, who lost in the Super Bowl last year to the Ravens, and the Seattle, I almost called them the Seattle Supersonics, that's funny, the Seattle Seahawks, a team that's on the, a burgeoning team on the edge of exploding with a tremendous amount of talent. Russell Wilson is going to be your star and quarterback. Marshawn Lynch is your running back. You've got wide receivers, and more importantly, you've got a defense with lockdown corners, and that means Seattle's going to be in just about every game. They're never going to be out of a game when your defense plays as well as theirs does. So who wins the division? It's hard for me to go against the 49ers, but I'm actually going to stick my head in the guillotine and say the Seattle Seahawks win this division, and the 49ers, maybe alongside the Bears or Green Bay, is the wild card. I don't see the Rams. I don't see – Arizona's kind of the wild card maybe in that division because Arizona, with Carson Palmer at quarterback, certainly could make some noise. They've got some talent with Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know who their running game consists of at this point, but that would definitely be the wild card. Arizona could make some noise. I wouldn't bank on it. I certainly wouldn't take it to the sports book. But if I'm looking for a division winner, it's definitely Seattle or San Francisco, not Arizona or the Rams. And there it is. See, now Sam Bradford, that's the quarterback of the Rams. See, now it comes to me. So there you go. So your playoff breakdowns and who wins it all. Six past the hour of 8 o'clock in Middle Earth. Who wins the whole shebang? Well, as a Chicago Bears homer, I'd love to see the Bears get there. But I don't know that this is their year. And as much as it may pain me to say this, my son may be right. This may be the Atlanta Falcons' year. They've got to get past the New Orleans Saints because New Orleans is going to put a ton of pressure on them. I can see the Super Bowl champ coming out of the NFC. I see that champ either being Atlanta, New Orleans, or Seattle. Thankfully, this is recorded. I'm not going to be able to go back on it. I'd love to be wrong. I really would. Oh, and there goes my Facebook page. Oh, boy, here we go. Here we go. All right, guys. It is what it is. I said it. I stand by it. I'm not backing off from it. All right. There go the haters from New York. There's no love for the Giants. Give it up. And real quick, before we forget, congratulations to Bernard King. I guess he's on his way to the NBA Hall of Fame. If you never saw him play, I'm sure you can find highlights of his scoring prowess on YouTube or other, you know, major league video medias across the landscape of the internet. But forever a force in New York, number 30 of the New York Knicks back in the day, Bernard King. Congratulations on everything going on with him going to the Hall of Fame. That's a beautiful thing. We'll be talking about some Olympics at some point down the road pretty soon. There are obviously social conditions associated with the Olympics coming to Russia. There are tensions obviously all over the world with what's going on in Syria. And just an FYI, I saw one of the taglines that hit the Facebook page that said we're going to talk about the conflict in Syria tonight and the political struggles and trials. Guys, this is a sports show. So as much as I'd love to get into some politics, I don't think that's what the genesis of this is about. So hence the name, the fastest 60 minutes in sports. But let's not jade it. Sports often is an escape from the real world. It's escape from the otherwise dangerous and crazy mundane world that is our current iteration of Earth right now. Yet somewhere in the hearts and souls of what I hope of the masses is a sense of love and a sense of care and concern over the greater good of mankind. Let's just hope and pray that that's where we get to. How about that? How about we leave it right there? All right? So for those of you who are anxious to see hockey, let me remind you of what this thing sounds like when a team is ready to win it all. Yeah, you're used to it. all know, this is what it sounds like often in Chicago. Every time the Blackhawks clown and did what they did, scored, and otherwise, the United Center goes up for grabs, and before you know it, we're da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and so on and so forth. Congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks, second title in three seasons. Looking forward to more from our boys. Thankfully, they did not fire sale most of their talent. Again, signing Nicholas Jalmerson to an extended deal as well today. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to all players who most recently signed big deals. Do right by your money. Don't be stupid. Don't wind up like so many of our great stars who basically got money and still wound up broke 2 years later. Let's be smart about these things, fellas. All right. You've been gifted with the talent to perform. Go out there and show and prove. We wish you the best no matter where you are in this world, and we look for great things from you. And we thank you for the entertainment value that you bring to all of our lives, and whatever that value is, whether it's even those who compete on Dancing with the Stars, kudos to you, all right? It takes a special talent. I know there have been some guys in the NFL that have won it, hence Jerry Rice and some other guys, but hey, you can dance, get it in, do what you do, all right? I personally like to dance, okay? Now, I don't have the knees I used to have, but I still like to shake a tail feather once in a while. So, anyway, what's going on? Back to baseball. Updates. Bottom seven now. Giants 8-5 over San Diego. Cleveland 6-4 over Baltimore. That's top six. Yankees still controlling the White Sox 5-1. That's the bottom of the seventh. The Nationals and Phillies 2-2 in the seventh. 5-4, Boston a leader over Detroit in the top of the sixth. And St. Louis and Cincinnati are tied at 3. Pittsburgh has come back to tie Milwaukee. Wait a minute. Okay, this must be a doubleheader because that says 2-2 in the third. Okay, it must be a second game in that one. Seattle, Kansas City. Seattle's a 3-0 leader over Kansas City. And Colorado, a 2-1 leader over the Dodgers. That's top of two. Rays in L.A. later on the night. Atlanta losing to the New York Mets 5-2. That's a final. And Houston, a 6-5 winner over the Minnesota Twins. Earlier today, the Cubs, a 9-7 winner over Miami. Oakland's 11-4 winner over Texas. And Arizona, a 4-3 winner over Toronto. Toronto is just an amazingly underperforming team. You can't be 64-76 and have the payroll and the talent that's on the Toronto Blue Jays. That team should have easily been competing with the Red Sox for the AFC East. But that's just a sports fan's opinion. Thankfully, I'm alive and entitled to it. All right, I can say that. I can still think. It's not illegal yet. Okay. Let's see. Looking for any changes. Any changes. Wow. Jared Sullinger pleads not guilty to domestic assault. That's not good. Phoenix Suns terminate the contract of troubled Beasley. Michael Beasley came out of college as one of the third best players in the draft and has been a problem child ever since. And finally, the Suns terminate his contract. It's sad to say, but will a team like Chicago be willing to pick up that kid's contract and give him a shot? He wouldn't be a bad fit if he could just simply stay out of trouble. But therein lies the challenge. Can he stay out of trouble? And what of Lamar Odom and his basketball prowess? You see all the stuff in the social media about him and Chloe and him disappearing. And yeah, does he have enough head left to still focus on basketball? The note here says, friends and family rally to help Lamar put his life together. If you all recall back in the day when Dave Chappelle had the Chappelle Show and that show was at the height of its popularity, and all of a sudden Dave supposedly just bailed. He just ran away from the show and he wound up going to Africa and people thought he was kind of nuts. And then Dave comes back and does a special at one of the colleges where it's like the Actors Guild where they sit and talk about all the things going on in his life and the show and everything else. And Dave got to talking about how sometimes the way media constructs and does things, or while Hollywood does things, has a way of changing people. Not only changing people, but changing the perspective. And sometimes you lose yourself in the process of all that. And it would not surprise me, and again, I'm being overly optimistic, maybe a bit of a Lamar Odom homer here, that Lamar just needed to go back to being Lamar. I don't know what the pressures of being in the spotlight in the Kardashian world looks like, but you know, again, thankfully I don't need to. I have the good fortune, good luxury of being yours truly, Vincent Lee Moore, better known as Vinnie Moore to many of you, your guru of fantasy picture, guru of rosters. And oh, let me not forget to do that, as it is on the – okay, that's next. Okay, very good. We got to do Stardom and Stardom again for your fantasy rosters before we call it a day or call it a night. But so Sunday's coming, NFL kickoff is coming tomorrow night. The clock counting down the time is on NFL.com. We're down under 20 hours now before the season gets started, and fans all over the world are just anxious to see what the season's going to bring. Again, it's football, people. The games are once a week. The smack talk starts somewhere about the mid, third, fourth quarter. We see the outcomes of the game. More smack talk comes. We talk all the way through Wednesday, Thursday. We start planning for our Saturdays and Sundays. And it is a vicious cycle for about 18 to 20 weeks out of all of our lives for those of us who are football fans. And you know what? We love it, and we wouldn't trade it for the world. And while I'm not quite sure why we love it so much, we truly love it. But then again, I think Americans look at the NFL football much the way Canadians look at their NHL. It is a special game played by a special set of people, and we get the luxury of enjoying it and seeing it all the time. And we wouldn't trade it for the world. All right. Again, kudos to the this is a nice blurb. Kudos, Chicago Blackhawks Stanley Cup champions 2013. Yes, they did win it all. You got to give them that. And this says the greatest prize on ice returned to Chicago when the 2012-2013 Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup championship for the second time in four seasons. NHL Original Productions takes you behind the glass, on the bench, and in the locker room as the Blackhawks make a historic run to the top of the NHL. Feel free to see that on the NHL.com's website. Click on the link. You can't miss it. It says Stanley Cup Champions. Nice big Chicago Blackhawks head with the 2013 logo on it. And enjoy. All right. Very nice. And you can not only view it in iTunes, but you can view it on your Windows players as well. All right. So there you go. Much love to my boys. Okay, hopefully we can do it again. I don't know that we'll start out, you know, that crazy record of 23-24 and like we did this past year, but we were somewhat set up to win it all. Okay. There are 2013-2014 hockey rankings already out here. This is kind of scary. Number one player in the world, Sidney Crosby. Number two, Steven Stamkos. Number three, Alex Ovechkin. Number four, Evgeny Malkin. Number five, John Tavares. Huh. Well, now that prompts us to want to see the whole thing, doesn't it? Absolutely. Notes from our friends on Facebook. Okay. These are just updates. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. All right. Do you want to see the top? Go down to the top. Oh, wow. All right. Let's make it fun. Let's go down to the top 20 in the National Hockey League for those of our hockey fans out there. Rick Nash, left winger. Ryan Getzlaf, number 19. Number 18, Pavel Datsyuk. He should be higher. Number 17, Henrik Zetterberg. Phil Kessel, the right winger from Toronto. Number 15, Tuukka Rask, the goalie for the Boston Bruins. He was really good. Number 14, Eric Staal, centerman. Number 13, P.K. Subban had an awfully good year. Eric Karlsson, number 12. Corey Perry, number 11. Patrick Kane, the world champion Blackhawks, comes in at number 10. Claude Giroux comes in at number 9. Jonathan Toews of the Blackhawks comes in at number 8. Jonathan Quick, number 7. He's a goalie. Number 6, Henrik Lundqvist, also a goalie. Number 5, John Tavares, and then the ones you just heard of, Evgeny Malkin, Alex Ovechkin, Steven Stamkos, and number one, Sidney Crosby. I'd love to tell you that I had a big problem with this, but that'd probably be unfair. They have three of the world champion Blackhawks at 44, 45, and 46. That'd be Marian Hossa, Patrick Sharp, Corey Crawford. But I guess if you're playing the game of volume, yeah, that's probably why you won the championship. Again, Boston has its fair share as well. Zdeno Chara came in at 82 this year. Brad Marchand at 77. Jerome Iginla at 73. Louis Erickson at 70. Are there any more Boston Bruins? Patrice Bergeron at 59. Any other Boston Bruins on this list? Because Boston is loaded up for a big-time run next year, in case you haven't noticed. The signing of Jerome Iginla from Pittsburgh after his short little rent-a-player stint with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Makes hockey interesting. And we get back to an 82-game schedule now, so the East will be playing the West, not East versus the East and West versus West until we get to the playoffs. That was a bit of a mess last year. Either way, it was still some great hockey. But now we get back to hockey the way most of us believe it should be played. So we close the door on the NHL, And it's time to get to the fantasy stuff. Okay, where do we do it? Where'd we go? No, we're not looking at gambling's top 10 tips. That wouldn't help you guys anyway. Because most of you are going to do the stupidest thing in the world anyway. So, and I'm not going to be nice to you this year. I am not. All right, week one rankings. This is what we need to do. Now, you guys gotta give me some theme music, man, going underneath this voice. You know? Yeah. Couldn't hurt. Oh, let's see. Alright, so. Alright, we're gonna do the top 10 down to 1 for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 positions. Starting with, it says, well, we're gonna start with the quarterback, so that's just easier for everybody. Alright. It makes more sense for me to give you that. So, top 10 quarterbacks starting week 1 in the National Football League this year. Number 10, Robert Griffin III out of Washington. Number 9, Tony Romo. Number 8, Matthew Stafford. Number 7, Andrew Luck. Number 6, Colin Kaepernick. Number 5, Aaron Rodgers. Number 4, Peyton Manning. Number 3, Matt Ryan. Number 2, Tom Brady. Number 1, Drew Brees. Now, special consideration for those of you who are looking for someone who may break out, you've got Cutler, Bradford, Flacco, Roethlisberger, Manning, Vic Wilson, and Cam Newton. But your top 10 looks like this. Robert Griffin III, Tony Romo, Stafford out of Detroit, Andrew Luck out of Indianapolis, Colin Kaepernick out of the 49ers, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, Peyton Manning in Denver, Matt Ryan in Atlanta, Tom Brady in New England, and number one this week, because definitely with something to prove, Drew Brees in New Orleans. I actually like that part of the list. I really think Drew Brees is going to have an absolute explosive year, especially now that they've got Meacham back in the fold along with Colston. Yeah, look for Drew Brees to sell a lot of jerseys this year. Just look for it. It's going to be fun. All right, to the running backs now. 10 down to 1. Number 10, Stephen Ridley. That's a matchup play, by the way. New England and Buffalo, that's purely a matchup. Number 9, Trent Richardson, Cleveland. That's a matchup play. Number 8, LeSean McCoy. Number 7, Alfred Morris out of Washington. Number 6, Ray Rice going up against Denver. Number 5, C.J. Spiller. I don't know about that one. Number 4, Marshawn Lynch. Number 3, Dougie Martin out of Tampa Bay. That may be matchup-driven. Number 2, Jamal Charles, Kansas City at Jacksonville. That's definitely matchup-driven. And number 1, just because he is who he is, and he'll be number 1 for a lot of times this year, Adrian Peterson out of Minnesota, because, again, Detroit may not be able to stop the run. So there you go. Special considerations that week, David Wilson, Arian Foster, Maurice Jones-Drew, Chris Johnson, and my boy out of Chicago, Matt Forte, in that new Mark Trestman offense. Look for Matt Forte to have a breakout year as well. To the wide receivers, and there's eight minutes left in the ride. Hope you're taking notes, Furlings. This is all for you for your week one. For those of you who are still kind of yet sitting on the fence and haven't set your starting lineups yet for your fantasy football squad, here you go. Number 10 in your wide receivers, Andre Johnson out of Houston. Number 9, Larry Fitzgerald. Number 8, Vincent Jackson in Tampa Bay. Number 7, Roddy White in Atlanta. Number 6, Brandon Marshall of the Bears. Number 5, Demaryius Thomas. Number 4, A.J. Green. Look for him to really put some pressure on those Bears corners. Number 3, Julio Jones, Atlanta. Number 2, Dez Bryant in Dallas. Number 1, Megatron himself, Calvin Johnson, Detroit at Minnesota. Minnesota having all kinds of issues at the corners this year. A special consideration this week, if you've got some guys maybe on the outer edge, Danny Amendola, Victor Cruz, Randall Cobb, Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon, Marcus Colson, Wes Welker, all could be integral parts of your offense. Based purely on matchup, and Dwayne Bowe and Wes Welker coming both ranked at 17. Look for Torrey Smith to be a part of that maybe as well out of Baltimore in that game against Denver. Denver's corners don't scare you. Champ Bailey's not going to play that night, so that could be something fun to watch as well. All right. To your tight ends. And this is for the last 2 years, the tight ends have always been fun because you had the Anthony, the Gonzalez. Yeah. You've had the Gonzalez success. You've also had Jimmy Graham. And don't be surprised if you hear both of them in this list. All right, 10 down to 1. Actually, we'll go 11 since there's several ranks that are kind of the same here. Number 11, Jermichael Finley out of Green Bay. 10, Greg Olsen. 9, Owen Daniels. Kyle Rudolph comes in at number 8. Antonio Gates, 7. Jared Cook, number 6. Zach Sudfeld out of New England. Again, He's got to take the place of Gronkowski. Number four, Vernon Davis. Number three, Jason Witten. Number two, Tony Gonzalez. And number one, Jimmy Graham. There they are, 1-2 this week. Look for both Jimmy Graham and Tony Gonzalez to have big opening days. They play each other, so not that that's motivation, but trust and believe, the ball's thrown their way, they're going to make plays. Jimmy Graham is finally healthy again. That's going to look really, really good for Drew Brees, when he especially gets in that red zone area. And trust and believe, they might be in that red zone area a lot. All right. To the kickers. Let's see. Quite a litany of our kickers this year. All right, here we go. We'll go 11 down to 1. Sebastian Janikowski of the Raiders. Greg Zuerlein, Mr. St. Louis, Mr. Foot himself at the St. Louis Rams. Danny Bailey in Dallas. David Akers in Detroit. Randy Bullock, new kicker in Houston. Phil Dawson with the Niners. Justin Tucker in Baltimore. Blair Walsh in Minnesota, Matt Prater in Denver, Matt Bryan in Atlanta, and Steven Gostkowski in New England. Now, special consideration this week certainly is Robbie Gould of the Bears. Against Cincinnati, he could be the X-Factor in winning that game. Kai Forbath in Washington, and Josh Brown in with the New York Giants. Garrett Hartley's on that list, but I'm not sold on Garrett's leg. He's had so many ups and downs last year, just really was inconsistent. But Matthew Berry and the other gurus seem to like the guy, so we'll give him some special, because we'll say his name at least on the show. How about that? 26 picks, 6 past the hour. We're winding it down. All right. Now to the defenses. Heed me closely as I do these defenses, ladies and gentlemen, because this will be absolutely critical to the success or failure of your team. It would suck to lose your game by 5-6 points because the defense you could have picked up but you didn't pick up for whatever the reason, you know, gets a pick six, scores a touchdown, gets a bunch of sacks, or whatever. Your defenses are absolutely critical to your success. So here you go. 10. Oh, we'll go 11 because I like you. 11 down to 1. Number 11 this week, and this is purely matchup driven. Please, it's purely matchup driven. The Cleveland Browns. Number 10, the St. Louis Rams. Number 9, the Indianapolis Colts. Number 8, the San Francisco 49ers. Number 7, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 6, the Chicago Bears. Number 5, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number 4, the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati's really good on defense this year. Number 3, the Houston Texans. Really good this year. Number 2, the Seattle Seahawks. And truly the most matchup-driven pick for number 1, the New England Patriots. You are not seeing the New England Patriots sit at number 1 unless they're playing Buffalo. And that's what's going on week 1. There are many prognosticators who have them just going into Buffalo and just mopping the floor with Buffalo Bills and the rookie quarterback. What? The game is played on the field. We shall see. We shall see. We indeed shall see how that all plays itself out. Again, there you have your rankings. Now you kind of know where you can and can't go, or you shouldn't go. On Sunday before the games kick off, even though we'll have Thursday's game in the books, we may throw some VIN picks at you just because that's what you've come to know and love over the last 3 years. And again, yes, we did 68% of our winners last year. Prior to that, we've had years of 71%. We had an off year at 59 one year, but I think we're just new in the game at that point. We really weren't quite sure about some of the matchups, but we're certainly settled these days, and we look forward to giving you picks that may make a difference. I actually may go to the sportsbook, but it won't be on week 1. I'll need to see at least 1, maybe 2 weeks of certain teams and how they've matured through camp, and then we'll go from there. In the meantime, to the entire North American continent, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your home on, in this case, a Wednesday night prior to the opening of the NFL season. It's been fun, as always, and I love you to death. For those who chose not to call, it's cool, 619-639-4747. For those of you who decided to chat and you left a ton of chat messages, I'll try to respond to all of them once the show concludes. In the meantime, we'll see you all next time only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.